This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
I have been getting a few messages here and there saying, Duncan, could you interview someone who's a dancer, who loves Jesus? Well, this lady is the first American to graduate from the Bolshoi Academy Ballet School in Russia. She is the first American woman to sign with Bolshoi Ballet as a principal dancer. She is now the principal dancer with Universal Ballet out of Seoul, Korea. It is Joy Womack. How are you doing, Joy?
Hi, I'm great. I'm really enjoying the beautiful sunny weather in Australia.
Now, you've been out here in Canberra, haven't you?
Yes, I have, and I can't seem to quite leave Canberra. I'm waiting on a Chinese visa, so I've gotten to extend my stay.
Love it. Now, to give us some background, you are originally raised in the United States of America. What inspired you to kind of leave Jamba Juice and Panera Bread and head off to Russia?
That's a great analogy, but I have to say that kind of all the doors closed in my face, and the only door that was really open was going to Russia. And I know that's kind of crazy, but I was just like, Lord, okay, if this is what you have in my cards, then that's what I'm going to do. And it's really kind of funny how he does that. He kind of closes the doors that shouldn't be open and opens the ones that should be.
But you understand, too, there's an easier path than making a decision to become a prima ballerina. Like that, there's a lot of work and commitment involved. Because, I mean, you head off to Bolshoi as a teenager.
Yes, and I have to say that, you know, if you want to become a professional dancer, you have to give up a lot of things when you're young, and especially at an age when most people would say, well, that person can't decide for themselves what they need or what they want. But really, time is either your best friend or enemy in my business. So, yeah, it requires a lot of sacrifice at a young age.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Here you are, you're a teenager, you're now in Russia. What was the biggest challenge that you had to overcome?
I think for me, certainly going from a place where everybody spoke the same language and, everything is so very simple to get, to go to a place where you have to work a lot harder just to cover your basic needs. And, yeah, learning a foreign language was excruciatingly painful and hard and isolating. But, you know, it's incredible what it does when you're on your own and there's nothing that you can do but lean on the power of God.
I mean, a lot of people hear that, but I mean, for you, that's really your experience, isn't it? You're thousands of miles away from anyone that you know. I mean, in Russia, which is not, you know, really well known for being a Christian nation, how does your faith get you through?
I would actually argue with you on that point.
Oh, good.
It is a Christian nation. It's just an Orthodox Christian nation. And there's, there's some beautifully, wonderfully born-again people who are on fire for God there. And, you know, I've been extremely lucky. And it was almost like that was the best thing I could have done for my faith, I think, is move away from the comfort and the kind of being hand-fed of, you know, our Western kind of mega church Christian ultra satrified culture. I think that people get so complacent when it's so easy and fed to you. You take things for granted. You kind of hear about the power of God. You hear about the power of prayer, but you don't necessarily feel it every day because it's just so easy to go down to the HEB and get what you need. But when all of a sudden you really are, for example, when I was 15, I had a stress fracture that chipped a bone off of my foot, and my parents said, like, you've got to come home. You have to get surgery. And this kind of a surgery in the States, 8 months recovery. And I knew that if I was going to do that, I would be done dancing. And I just started praying. I was like, Lord, why would you bring me all the way out here just to drop me in the middle of nowhere? And the answer was, I actually had to, you know, my church sponsored my surgery, and I ended up healing in a month and going back and being on the stage. And I just remember being 16 years old and just thinking, it was just like, wow, God can answer my prayers. God is there. He's seeing what I should do. And it just, it changed everything. It's almost like being saved again. Just when you really feel that there is, you just start praying, and then all of a sudden, you know, either you get an answer, yes or no, but you definitely feel that when you're not relying on your own strength or somebody who steps in.
That's incredible. I mean, that's an amazing moment. Is that your favorite moment from this experience? Or what's been your favorite moment as a dancer?
I have to say the most beautiful thing about living in Russia is like you feel there are the daily miracles that happen.
Can you give us an example?
Well, for example, like getting not having any money and then just somebody walking and be like, you know what, I wanted to just bless you. I wanted to help you. Just hand me a 5,000 ruble note.
Wow.
Or, you know, just like not knowing what I'm going to do or how it's going to happen. Like, for example, I wanted to start my higher education. And I was there at the exam for the university that's attached with the Bolshoi school. And I'm there in the exam, and the head of the exam is like, well, why don't you send your application to my university, which is one of the top universities in Russia for what I do. And I ended up being one of six girls accepted.
Now, was this for the Kremlin Ballet?
No, this is this year. I just got accepted to a master's degree program.
Wow.
For teaching, and it's highly competitive, and I wasn't even trying necessarily to get into this competition, this program. And then over the next week, I started stressing out because I'm like, there's no way I can afford it. It's $14,000 a year. This is a great opportunity, but unfortunately, you know, I can't pay for it. I don't make nearly enough money to pay for that. And I get a call from the woman I was helping while I was living there. And she's like, look, Joy, I just want to help you achieve your goals in education. And she paid the whole tuition in full the next week. And it's just like, God, how can I then say that you don't exist?
That's incredible.
Yeah. No, miracles exist. It's true. I'm a living testament to it.
I mean, you're talking to a guy who has zero frame of reference what it's like to live in the world of ballet, but I would imagine that you're surrounded by profoundly driven people that have sacrificed a lot. How do you find they receive you, you know, wearing your faith on the sleeve, representing Team Jesus?
Well, you know, either you're somebody's cup of tea or you're not.
Yeah.
And it becomes really clearly black and white. But I think that Jesus calls us not to beat people over the head with a Bible, but to love people where they are. And so the less judgmental and more open I am to accepting people as they are and just loving them, the better chances they have maybe even being interested in what it might be like to be a Christian.
Love
so
it.
So my goal is not to tell you how to live your life or what you need to do or what you're doing wrong, but just ask, how can I help? What do you need?
Be a servant.
What is something I have that I can give to you?
Awesome. Joy, as a dancer, you've got an opportunity to do some incredible performances. What's been your most memorable one that you've done?
Well, I think to try to pick one performance out of a hat, too, is really hard because when I go on stage, I'm not out there for me. You know, like that is truly the purest form of worship. And so any time I try to insert myself into that, it's when you kind of have a failure.
Yeah.
And one of the most beautiful things is seeing the younger generation come up and succeed and do well. And that's why it's so wonderful to do kind of these gala concerts with students, because they get so inspired. And then you can come back a year later and you see them doing great things. And that's more meaningful than winning a gold medal or doing super well. But I do have to say that my favorite memories on stage are probably of those times that I've gotten to dance main roles in the Bolshoi, just because it feels so wonderful to dance on that stage. But that being said, even though that's wonderful, it's just as wonderful to dance something that you love to beautiful music anywhere in the world. It doesn't have to be a beautiful theater, but just be around people who want to see you dance.
I love that. I know that we've got a lot of dancers who listen to the show because they've been complaining that I haven't done an interview with a dancer.
we need more dance in general.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more with you. I mean, there's moments in Scripture where you see David dance, you know, as a form of worship, which I think is what you're talking about. But what would be your advice to an aspiring dancer who's struggling to find a way in right now?
I think that my best advice would be like, just spend some time in prayer, really understanding where God wants you to be, and trust that He will provide a way, even if it doesn't seem clear. It's so hard to be in wait, and for sometimes the doors can be closed for a long time, and it's so hard to not give up. But it's really important to stay diligent daily. So that means taking care of your body, making sure that you're in shape, and doing the things to take care of maintenance and knocking on the right doors, but also understanding that, you know, it's not in your hands.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's in some old man's hands. So, you know, it's a really hard industry, really difficult. In a sense, is you can be doing everything that you need to do, but if you're not somebody's cup of tea, the invitation won't be extended to you, and that's really rough to swallow.
So how do you respond in a moment like that? You've put in the hard work, you've prepared your body, you go in, and someone just says, "Nah, I don't like the way you look. We're going to go a different option."
I have to say that I struggle with that now daily, you know, when you're trying to make different strides in your career forward and take a different path, it's really difficult to get rejected. I think it's one of the hardest things. It's so difficult. But you have to just trust that the right door is going to open. And it does. It just takes patience.
Now, I know that even when I was organizing this interview, I was speaking with Zara, the lady who was organizing it, and she was like, "Oh, we can't talk first thing in the morning because Joy's getting back from a morning jog."
Yeah.
Can you let everyone know just how far you run every morning?
Well, I mean, I did a marathon in Moscow to help a little boy who needed some funds.
Yeah.
A little orphan boy. And so that kind of was my first motivator. And it's just so wonderful to kind of get out there and let the road be your therapist in a way. I love to run. So I try to aim for at least an hour, and then once or twice a week I do a long run. So that can be anywhere from an hour and a half to an hour and 2 hours and 45 minutes. So yesterday I had a 2 hour and I think it was 15 minute run, which I ran around 12.5 miles. Yeah.
12.5 miles, which is what, roughly 16, 17 kilometers?
I think a little bit more.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Incredible.
No, it's fun. It's fun. Plus, you get to see a new city. I think it's the best way to explore a new place. Like, I ran in Italy, I ran in Russia, I ran in Korea, now in Australia. It's just.
So this is obviously going to be the follow-up career once you've done with ballet. You're going to become a professional runner?
I've flirted with the idea of doing different kinds of sports because I love just working out in the gym. I love doing something physical. And I think that it's really, life is easier to swallow when you're able to have something physical to show for your efforts.
Yeah.
And I definitely would advise it to anyone who says that they feel depressed. Just get out there and get moving, because it's amazing just what a little bit of endorphins can do for your mood and the way that it can make you a nicer person, the way that you interact with others.
Brilliant. Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't know if I would still be a nice person after running 12 miles.
Well, we can run two.
That's good. That's good. Joy, do you find it? Because I mean, like, if we track your career, you're in the USA, then you move to Moscow. You're now in South Korea right now,
and now I moved back to Moscow. Actually,
moving back to Moscow.
Yeah,
but let's even talk South Korea to Moscow. Two very different languages, two very different cultures.
Yes.
How do you find yourself making friends in a brand new culture in a career that really involves a lot of your time?
Well, I think that it's very difficult to invest in deep personal relationships when you're a dancer, because it's actually, especially when you're a principal dancer, requires you to be very singularly focused and almost self-absorbed to a point. So I think it's important to take a look in the mirror and for a second not be about yourself and be about the other people that are in the room, and It can just even be something as simple as making somebody smile or cracking a joke to break the tension in the room. I think one of the best lessons I've learned is don't take yourself too seriously and don't be afraid to laugh at yourself, at the ridiculous of what you're doing. I had a great partner in Moscow. His name is Misha, and it's really bad. Like, we will be, I mean, peeing ourselves laughing before we have to go out on stage, and that's what keeps like, if only the audience can have a little snippet of what's going on right before we come out on stage to dance something dramatic like Giselle, and he's doing like a boogie and like rapping to the music or something.
I would look spectacular in a full exactly. ballerina outfit.
Exactly.
I love it. Well, Joy, it has been an absolute delight and pleasure getting an opportunity to chat with you. If people want to stay in contact and follow you, where can they find you?
Oh, I am definitely on all of the social media. So I run a YouTube channel, and then I also have two Instagram accounts. One of them is joy.womack, and that's mostly ballet-based pictures. And then the other one is Project Prima, where I post kind of my running, what I'm doing outside, I love to cook, and I'm like a vegan, low-carb chef, so I post all my recipes and kind of like what I'm cooking around the world there. So if you're interested in that, check it out, and I would be happy to answer any questions. And then, just send me a message.
Brilliant. Well, thanks, Joy. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you so much. It's so great that we finally caught up with each other.
Seriously?
It's awesome. All right. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.